RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present your program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, Headline Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. The Indonesian government to loosen up supervision on village funds. The Australian Transaction Report and Analysis Centre, AUSTRAC, backs Indonesia's fight against money laundering. The radicalization in Indonesia is considered successful. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian government announced on Tuesday that it would loosen up audits on the disbursement of village funds to protect the local apparatus from potential legal charges because its staff have minimal budget management skills. A closed-door meeting attended by the Home Ministry, the Finance Ministry, the Villages, Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration Ministry and the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, concluded that they would not directly investigate any irregularities emerging in the scheme's disbursement of funds that the government has run in villages since last year. The government instead is planning to set up an internal supervision body comprising officials from the three ministries and from the Development Finance Comptroller called the Internal Government Apparatus Supervision to review the budget spending. Home Ministry's Inspector General Tarmizi Abdul Karim said that the three ministries, with the help of BPKB or Development Finance Comptroller, had established an online application for the apparatuses to guide local officials in using the funds in order to avoid future misuse. The Australian Transaction Report on Analysis Centre, AUSTRAC, has reaffirmed its support for a new Indonesian regulation on submission of data and information to combat money laundering, adding that the measure will also aid in effort to eradicate terrorism. AUSTRAC is cooperating with Indonesia's Financial Transaction Report and Analysis Centre to track financial transactions suspected of relating to international terrorist networks. AUSTRAC Chief Executive Officer Paul Jeff Taufik, in a discussion to introduce the new regulation in Jakarta on Tuesday, terrorist attacks in Jakarta and Paris recently warned all of the importance of anti-money laundering and anti-terrorist financing laws. With financing systems expanding globally, new ways of funding terrorism activities are being opened across the world, he said, adding that Australia and Indonesia needed to work together to stop illegal financial activities. The main challenge is to identify these funds, which probably related to organized perpetrators or terrorists. Terrorism observer Muhammad Nasir Abbas considered that the de-radicalization program in Indonesia has been successfully implemented. Muhammad Nasir Abbas said, after diplomatic forum event entitled Global Cooperation in Coping with Radicalism, organized by RRI World Service on Tuesday, March 15 in Jakarta, the success of the radicalization program showed from the lowering number of terrorism conflicts.
Dari jumlah 1,000 orang kurang lebih yang sudah
deradicalization, it is very necessary, and Indonesia has been successful in deradicalization from the total of approximately 1,000 people who have been arrested, and we see that only few who return to do it again. And this all as a process, and if we look at how much the people as actors, and then it was changed later, returned to his house and did not return again. Yes, that is already free, and then not rejoin their groups. If we record it all, many do not want to be involved anymore than having a desire to do it again.
Muhammad Nasir Abbas, moreover, added, around 1,000 people were arrested. It is quite a large number, and Indonesia need to improve coordination among countries to prevent and cope with terrorism. On the same occasion, Director of Deradicalization from the National Agency for Counterterrorism, Irfan Idris, said Umar Patek, convicted of Bali bombing case, is just one example of the success of the deradicalization program. Irfan Idris said that Umar Patek had changed completely. Irfan Idris further explained, the deradicalization program will not only be given to terrorism convicts inmates in prison, but also former terrorists who are free. The deradicalization program outside prisons is given in the form of guidance of religion, nationalism, and entrepreneurship. British Ambassador to Indonesia Muazzam Malik at the Diplomatic Forum held by RRI in Jakarta Tuesday, March 15, 2016, said that Indonesia plays a strategic role in the cooperation of combating against radicalism. In a talk show themed Global Cooperation in Coping with Radicalism, held by Voice of Indonesia, Ambassador Muazzam explained that compared with other countries, Indonesia has a good track record in terms of suppressing the escalation of radical movements. The evidence of Indonesia's good record in suppressing the escalation of radicalism is the lowering number of Indonesian citizens who joined the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS.
I believe Indonesia has a very unique and a very important role to play actually in the global community. Because in Indonesia, what we see is somewhere between 300 to 700 individuals have left to join Daesh in the Middle East, in Syria and Iraq. Out of a population of 220 million Muslims, in the UK, some 800 British nationals have left to join Daesh from a population of less than 3 million Muslims. And compared to other countries, every other country I know, in relative terms, the numbers of individuals joining the extremist fight is at its lowest level from Indonesia. So one of the things I'm very keen to do is to look at why, to understand why.
According to Ambassador Muazzam, Indonesia's excellent track record in reducing the escalation of radical movement occurred thanks to the role played by the government, the great Islamic organizations such as Nahdlatul Ulama and Muhammadiyah. Ambassador Muazzam added, the radicalization effort undertaken by Indonesia can be a good example for other countries in the world. Muazzam emphasized, radicalism need to be addressed by law enforcement and security. Law enforcement and security need to be accompanied by effort of transforming radical ideas. At the diplomatic forum, besides British Ambassador Muazzam Malik, other speakers were Pakistani Ambassador to Indonesia, Muhammad Akil Nadim, Director of Deradicalization of National Counterterrorism Agency, Irfan Idris, Chairman of the Indonesian Ulama Council for Foreign Affairs, Muhyiddin Junaidi, and Observer of Terrorism, Muhammad Nasir Abbas. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. On the same occasion, British Ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Muazzam Malik, said, Islamic practice and teaching in Indonesia is based on pluralism and moderate values. Ambassador Muazzam Malik moreover said, the United Kingdom and other countries in the world need to learn from Indonesia. Therefore, Muazzam Malik hoped there will be implemented improvement of cooperation between Muslim institutions in the two countries. The British ambassador moreover said young generations from various countries need to learn from Indonesia, where the country implement their religious teaching based on pluralism and moderate values. The religious practice can be a counterweight from other extreme teachings such as Wahhabi Salafi ideology. Muazzam said he got experience during his visit to Islamic universities and Islamic boarding schools in Java and other regions. He saw similar religious teachings that facilitate tolerance. Furthermore, Ambassador Muazzam will promote Indonesian community to share their comprehension in the international forums. Maize export from Gorontalo reached 109,000 tons in 2015, or rose from preceding year's figure of merely 32,000 tons. Head of Gorontalo Class 2 Quarantine Center, Yusuf Patrioy, said Wednesday, March 16, that the figure has risen in line with the shipment frequency, which was 24 shipments in 2014 to 42 shipments last year. The destination country for Gorontalo maize export is the Philippines only. The export are carried out by 7 importers. He added Gorontalo has exported maize to South Korea once, but as commercial samples only. The last item, the chairman of the ad hoc committee overseeing the reform of the Soccer Association of Indonesia, Agum Gumelar, has made a fresh claim that the government might lift its ban of the organization next month. The statement was made following a meeting between Agum with President Joko Widodo on Tuesday at the State Palace concerning a different issue. Agum Gumelar is also the chairman of the Veterans Association Pepabri and was discussing an issue concerning military veterans with the president. Agum said that during the meeting, he asked the president to immediately settle the PSSI issue. He went on to say that he believed President Joko Widodo was fully aware that the PSSI's role in organizing soccer competitions is very dominant in terms of building and improving the country's soccer. Agum, however, said he did not know why the revocation might come in April and stopped short of elaborating with details. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. The Indonesian government to loosen up supervision on village funds. The Australian Transaction Report and Analysis Center, AUSTRAC, backs Indonesia's fight against money laundering. Deradicalization in Indonesia is considered successful. That was the news.
Listener, this is commentary entitled The Second Geneva Talks for the Future of Syria. I'm Rahmawati. Listener, how's the future of Syria? No one can answer yet. Conflict that has lasted for 5 years in the country has not signed an end. It is unclear who the ruler of Syria is at the moment. There are three parties fighting there, namely the regime of President Bashar al-Assad, fighters who are opposed to Assad, and ISIS that claims to rule the northern and western part of the country. Various efforts have been made by the West, Russia, and Middle Eastern countries to solve issues in Syria, but the result is still far from what is expected. Russia even shows a quiet aggressive response by sending its troops to Syria. It happens after seeing the West launch air offensive in the area occupied by ISIS. However, unlike the West attack, Russia's response was directed to militants against the administration of Bashar al-Assad. It makes conflict in Syria a triangle war. Militants battle on the regime of al-Assad and ISIS. Russia helps Assad against the militants and ISIS, while ISIS fights with the two of them and anyone. On Tuesday, March 15, 2016, Russian President Vladimir Putin announced the withdrawal of Russian troops because their goal has been achieved. Previously, Putin spoke on the phone with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad and the US President Barack Obama to reveal the plan. Russia started air attack last September to support Syrian regime in the conflict that has lasted for a long time. It left a quarter million of people dead. More than 80,000 victims are civilians, including 13,000 children. What more painful is, about 13 million people are forced to leave their houses. It means that half of Syrian people have become refugees. War causes economic condition in Syria slumps too. Income source like oil stops and infrastructure is damaged. The economy does not develop because industry and business are closed. Since the conflict began, income from export has fallen down up to 90%. It is worsened with international sanctions that put Syria in deeper suffering. The withdrawal of Russian troops is a good news because one party has gone out of Syria. But the conflict has not ended yet. Finding solution on Syrian issue is the theme carried out in the second Geneva meeting that started this early week. The meeting was held to continue the first meeting in the same city last February. The meeting was held in one day only, and it ended up in failure. It is because at that time, the administration regime's troops assisted by Russian air attack hit the militants. Now the highlight is problem-solving of Syria in Geneva. Although they still propose requirements, the disputing parties are willing to meet. The international society certainly hopes that the second Geneva meeting can create formula, which at least gives early solution, which is good for the disputing parties. Well, listener, that's commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past, as recorded in history. We begin with the tragedy of mass murder by U.S. soldiers in South Vietnam on March 16, 1968. U.S. soldiers killed 200 to 500 residents of My Lai Phu Village in the north of South Vietnam. My Lai Phu Village was located in area which was often infiltrated by Viet Cong insurgent group, and many U.S. soldiers were killed in the area. On March 16, 1968, Lieutenant Al Colley and his troops came to the village for a search and destroy operation. However, they found women, children, and elders only. Then the U.S. soldiers channeled their anger by killing the unarmed people. The mass murder ended after an American pilot named Ho Thompson landed his helicopter between American soldier and village residents. The incident was first concealed, yet one year later that was revealed and military investigation was held. Lieutenant Colley was sentenced to life, however he got pardoned and jailed for several years only. The next event is on March 16, 1978. Amoco Cadiz supertanker sunk. U.S. Amoco Cadiz supertanker, which was sailing to Rotterdam, faced problem on 9:45 GMT. Previously, the helmsman had warned the captain that the steer was damaged. Finally, on March 16, 1978, the ship became uncontrollable and sunk into the water off Portstall Rocks, 30 meters from the coast of Brittany, France. More than 200,000 tons of crude oil was spilled and polluted the water, while 42 crews of Amoco Cadiz were saved before the ship sunk. Around 360 kilometers of the coast and 200,000 hectares of the sea were estimated to be contaminated by the oil spill. Amoco supertanker captain Pasquale Bardari finally was taken to court and sentenced for his mistake. And we end today in history with an event on March 16, 1988. Thousands of Halabja people in northern Iraq died due to poisonous gas. Halabja is a city in Iraq, located around 240 km from Baghdad, the capital of Iraq, and around 14 km of Iranian border. Halabja is an important spot for National Liberation Front of Kurdistan. On March 16, 1988, when the Iran-Iraq war took place, Saddam Hussein's troops launched gas attack against the city. This attack took 5,000 lives of Kurdi people and wounded around 10,000 people. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome back to Void Green. Today's edition features food vendor and library accept garbage for payment. Food vendors accepting plastic garbage as payment is a trending topic among the people of Semarang City, Central Java Province. This unique culinary business is managed by Sarimin, 54 years old, with his wife Suyatmi since January this year. Because this food vendor is located near Jatibarang landfill, Mijan sub-district, no wonder if most of its customers are scavengers. According to Sarimin, the scavengers only need to pay their food with 15 to 20 kilograms of plastic garbage. 1 kilogram of plastic garbage is valued 400 rupiah. This unique payment method drew attention of Semarang's mayor Hendrar Prihadi. Mayor Hendrar Prihadi then visited Mr. Sarimin's vendor on Monday and enjoyed the food there. The mayor said the payment method of the food vendor is a form of people empowerment through plastic garbage. Besides moving the economy, the people are told about how to make plastic garbage more usable. Mayor Hendrar Prihadi felt proud of the creativity of his people. He added the scavengers can be helped while the government's program to decrease plastic garbage can be supported. Meanwhile, in Semarang Regency, there is a library where people can borrow books by paying with garbage. The library is located in the hillside of Mount Ungaran, precisely in Kali City Village, West Ungaran, Semarang Regency. At a glance, the appearance is simple. The bookshelves and various books are orderly. However, when the kids are coming, they will hold bottles or plastic packaging. Kali City Village Library demands payment for every member who wants to borrow the book. Instead of money, the payment is by plastic bottle. Every borrower must bring 1 plastic bottle or 3 plastic glasses or 5 plastic packaging or cans. Every child averagely borrows 2 or 3 books each day. The library itself is less than 150 meters square, located near the village office. It has 3,000 books, which moves granted by other people. The visitors of the library are not only primary school students. Junior and senior high school students also visited. Even many adult members are voluntarily involved as library manager. They help the administration. Library coordinator Farah Awalia Chandana explained paid garbage payment policy had been applied for 3 years. The idea to combine library and waste bank began from her concern on people's low awareness toward cleanliness. Many household waste are carelessly thrown, including plastic garbage. On the other hand, the children's reading interest in village is high enough so that the concept of garbage payment method for books appears. Eventually, the children have more awareness and cleanliness, especially on plastic garbage issue, and the village becomes free from the plastic garbage. Listener, that was Void Green.
Listener, here is the headlines of several national newspapers published today, March 16, 2016. We begin the headlines with Kompas Daily, which wrote, "Political party must ensure truck-free candidate." Home Affairs Minister Cahyo Kumolo led the National Narcotics Agency, or BNN, to conduct urine tests towards the regional heads and their deputies in Indonesia. Without prior notice, the test is expected to catch addicted heads. And this was stated in the press release by BNN Head Commissioner General Budi Waseso on March 14th after Ogan Ilir Regent Ahmad Wasir Noviadi Mawardi and four others were arrested at his parents' house on March 13, 2016. According to Budi Waseso, there are more regional officials and heads who allegedly abused the narcotics. Therefore, the National Narcotics Agency will not need to report to the president or the governors for the arrest. Meanwhile, Tembo wrote, 1965 case, government chooses non-judiciary method. The government decided the non-judiciary way to finish the severe human rights violation case in 1965 until 1966. The Politics, Legal and Security Coordinating Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said, currently the government had been on the concept finalization. This statement followed a new step by National Human Rights Commission, or Komnas HAM, last week, which urged the US President Barack Obama to open the document related to the 1965 incident. Komnas HAM needed the US document to support their inquiries, which until now has never been taken into investigation process by the Attorney General Office. Meanwhile, Law and Human Rights Minister Yasona Lawli said, the government tends to choose the non-judiciary option. About Komnas HAM asking Obama for the US intelligence document, Yasona said the step was unnecessary. Listener, we end the headlines with Republika. Densus 88 still uses old style. Counter-terrorism action and prevention by the National Police Counter-Terrorism Unit 88, or Densus 88, was on the spotlight after the death of Siono, a Klaten resident in East Java, when being investigated by the unit. Muhammadiyah Chairman Bushro Mukoda said recently the measures taken by Densus 88 were similar to the new orders. Bushro Mukoda emphasized the evaluation on Counterterrorism Act is necessary. Listener, that's the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, wherever you are, welcome back to News in Brief. The Indonesian government announced on Tuesday that it would loosen up audits on the disbursement of village funds to protect the local apparatus from potential legal charges because its staff have minimal budget management skills. The Australian Transaction Report and Analysis Centre has reaffirmed its support for a new Indonesian regulation on submission of data and information to combat money laundering, adding that the measure will also aid in effort to eradicate terrorism. Austrac is cooperating with Indonesia's Financial Transaction Report and Analysis Centre to track financial transactions suspected of relating to international terrorist networks. Terrorism observer Muhammad Nasir Abbas considered that the de-radicalization program in Indonesia has been successfully implemented. Muhammad Nasir Abbas said after diplomatic forum event in Jakarta, the success of the re-radicalization program showed from the lowering number of terrorism conflicts. British Ambassador to Indonesia Muazzam Malik at the diplomatic forum held by RRI in Jakarta said that Indonesia plays a strategic role in the cooperation of combating against radicalism. British Ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Muazzam Malik said Islamic practice and teaching in Indonesia is based on pluralism and moderate values. Ambassador Muazzam Malik moreover said that the United Kingdom or UK and other countries in the world need to learn from Indonesia. Maize export from Gorontalo reached 109,000 tons in 2015, arose from preceding year's figure of merely 32,000 tons. The chairman of the ad hoc committee overseeing the reform of the Soccer Association of Indonesia, Agum Gumelar, has made a fresh claim that the government might lift its ban of the organization next month. That was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Central Sulawesi. Stay tuned. On March 7, 2016, many tourists come to Kilo Lima Beach, Luwuk in Central Sulawesi, to witness rare phenomenon, total solar eclipse. Most of them brought professional cameras, complete with tripod and also long lens. Even there were tourists who brought drone. From 12 provinces passed by solar eclipse, one of them is Central Sulawesi. The total solar eclipse passed Luwuk, the capital city of Banggai Regency. According to Space Science Center of National Institute of Neuronetics and Space, Luwuk City was passed by total solar eclipse for 2 minutes 50 seconds. Listeners, observing of total solar eclipse in Luwuk was centered at Kilo Lima Beach. This beach is often visited by tourists because the beach becomes one of tourism objects' icons. Kilo Lima Beach is located around 5 kilometers from Luwuk City, Central Sulawesi. It becomes a name of the beach. To go to the beach from Palu, the capital city of Central Sulawesi, you can go by airplane for 1 hour to Luwuk, or you can use land transportation for 12 hours. From Luwuk City, this beach is easily to be accessed by using land transportation. Moreover, the beach is located at the edge of the main street to Bubung and Toili Airport. Listeners, Kilo Lima Beach presents a lot of beauty. Stretch of its sand is white and sparkle. The beauty of its underwater sea is clear and amazing. On the sand, you can play long time as you like, or you can swim at the beach. To see the underwater sea, many tourists dive at the beach, which has beautiful offshore. Because of that, no wonder if the beach is visited by many foreign tourists. Listeners, if you come to Kilo Lima Beach in the morning and sunny day, you can witness beautiful sunrise. And at night from the beach, you can see sparkling lights of Luwuk City. Facility at the beach is quite complete. There are also many cafes. We sell many kinds of typical food along the beach. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, here is the Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you Indonesian vocabulary and idioms as well as their use in conversation. Today's topic is Undangan Makan Siang, or in English, Lunch Invitation. Stay tuned! As usual, first I will say the Indonesian vocabulary and expression related to our topic today. I will say them twice slowly and you can follow after me. Undangan, undangan. In English, invitation. Makan siang, makan siang. In English, lunch. Menerjemahkan, menerjemahkan. In English, to translate. Mengajak, mengajak. In English, to invite. Di restoran, di restoran. In English, at the restaurant. Maaf, maaf. In English, sorry. Tidak bisa, tidak bisa. In English, cannot. Lain waktu, lain waktu. In English, other time. Tidak masalah, tidak masalah. In English, no problem. Tunggu kabar darimu. Tunggu kabar darimu. In English, look forward to hearing from you. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. In English, thank you. Now, here is a conversation example between Leah, or A, and Rina, or B. I will say them twice slowly, and you can follow after me. A. Hai Rina, apakah hari ini kamu ada kesibukan? Hai Rina, apakah hari ini kamu ada kesibukan? In English. Hai Rina, do you have any plan today? B. Ya, aku sedang menerjemahkan naskah. Ya. Aku sedang menerjemahkan naskah. In English, yes, I am translating a script. Ada apa? Ada apa? In English, what's up? A. Aku mau mengajak kamu makan siang di restoran. Aku mau mengajak kamu makan siang di restoran. In English, I want to invite you for lunch at restaurant. B. Tawarannya menarik sekali. Tawaran yang menarik sekali. In English, what an interesting offer. Tapi maaf Leah, hari ini aku tidak bisa memenuhi undanganmu. Tapi maaf Leah, hari ini aku tidak bisa memenuhi undanganmu. In English, but I'm sorry Leah, I cannot come. Bagaimana jika lain waktu? Bagaimana jika lain waktu? In English, how about another time? Hey, baiklah. Tidak masalah. Baiklah,
tidak masalah.
In English? Well, no problem. Kalau begitu, lain waktu saja. Kalau begitu, lain waktu saja. In English? Some other time then. B.
Baiklah, aku tunggu kabar darimu. Baiklah, aku tunggu kabar darimu.
In English? Alright, just let me know. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. In English? Thank you.
Well, listener, that's the Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. We meet again next week with other interesting topics. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you to Indonesian band Sheila on 7. The band was founded on May 6, 1996 in Yogyakarta. They are a group of friends of a few high schools in Yogyakarta. At that time, the band's personnel consisted of Duta vocalist, Adam bassist, Eros guitarist, Sakti guitarist, and Anton drummer. Initially, they agreed to form a band and brought the songs of the band Oasis, U2, Bon Jovi, Guns N' Roses, and others. At that time, they already have some songs of their own work and start to try to introduce the songs while performing. Up to now, their work is still accepted and awaited by the music lovers in Indonesia. From the beginning of their career up to nowadays, they have released a total of 10 albums. Well, listener, let's listen to the coming song entitled Done by Sheila on 7. Happy listening.
Kembali seperti sedia kala di mana kau bisa.
During their music career, Sheila on 7 has often changed formation. Their current formation, namely Duta vocalist, Eros guitarist, Adam bassist, and Brian drummer. And the song you've just heard is the second single from their first album, entitled Sheila on 7. It is considered phenomenal because they managed to invite heart feelings of their music lovers all over Indonesia. The song, with a simple composition, even managed to make a new record. The song became number one on the MTV Ampuh charts for 40 weeks. Moreover, the song also successfully became the Songs of the Year for two consecutive years. Up to now, there is no Indonesian song that equaled the track record of the song. Although it was firstly many people questioned the ability of their music, because the music is simple and easy listening. However, their achievements in an early career, it seemed answering that question. Listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Seberapa Pantas by Sheila on 7. Enjoy the song.
Seberapa pantaskah kau untuk kutunggu? Cukup pindahkah dirimu untuk selalu ku nantikan? Mampukah kau hadir dalam setiap mimpi burukku? Mampukah kita bertahan di saat kita jauh? Seberapa hebat kau untuk ku banggakan? Cukup tangguhkan dirimu untuk selalu ku andalkan. Kau bertahan dengan hidupku yang malang. Oh, sanggupkah kau meyakinkan di saat aku bimbang? Celakanya hanya kaulah yang benar-benar aku tunggu. Hanya kaulah yang benar-benar memahamiku. Kau pergi dan hilang kemanapun kau suka. Celakanya hanya kaulah yang pantas untuk ku banggakan. Hanya kaulah yang sanggup untuk aku andalkan. Dia ketara beri aku selalu menantimu. Seberapa hebat kau untuk ku banggakan? Cukup tangguhkan dirimu untuk selalu ku andalkan. Oh, mampukah kau bertahan dengan hidupku yang malang? Oh, sanggupkah kau meyakinkan di saat aku bimbang? We'll be right back.
Listener, that was the song Seberapa Pantas by Sheila on 7. Three albums of Sheila on 7 has ever been sold millions of copies. No wonder the band got by name the Million Copies Band. The last album of Sheila on 7, which sold millions of copies, is their third album entitled 07 Dance, or No 7 Dance. Their leading hits, namely Seberapa Pantas, which was released together with the album of Jamrud and Dewa 19. However, Sheila on 7 became the winner of the best-selling albums during 2002-2003 period, and the total sales of the album reached 1.5 million pieces. Sheila on 7 won the most prestigious award, such as Emmy Award 2002, including Best Album Heist Award, three awards on SCTV Music Awards 2003, including the most top song entitled Seberapa Pantas, three awards at the Anugerah Planet Music Malaysia in 2003, including Best Group Category. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled J.A.P. and Kita by Sheila on 7. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.